Michael Dusil was a photojournalist who worked for the Washington Post and also was a 1981 graduate of Indiana University, the School of Journalism. And our own Julie Apple was a classmate of Michael's at IU. Julie, when did you learn the news that Michael had died?
Actually, this morning at about 5 o'clock, I was coming into the station early. I never do that. And I picked up my phone off the charger, and there was a text from my friend Larry Levin with Michael's obituary on it. The way it came up on my text feed, there was a picture of Michael and a link, and at first I just thought it was an award or something. And then I saw the headline that said, Michael Dusil dead at 58, and it didn't even register. I couldn't process it. It was so shocking.
You guys stayed in touch over the years, right?
Oh, yes. Michael has, he stayed in touch with a lot of people. And we spoke as recently as a couple of months ago. And I saw him last fall. He remembers everyone, keeps in touch with everyone. I don't know how he's kept all those irons in the fire and still accomplished everything that he has.
He was also a phenomenal, he had a phenomenal eye. And you were telling me earlier when we were just chatting that he was like, it's like he was born with that eye.
He was such an incredible photographer. I just didn't understand how 5 people could go and take a picture of the same thing, and Michael's was somehow different and somehow more interesting, and it kept your interest, and you would kind of study it, and it didn't matter like what he was taking a picture of. I mean, he could just find the angle or the look or the exact moment and just capture it. He knew how to capture moments.
It's almost as though photographers who make that kind of work, it's almost as though they're seeing with their hearts and not their eyes. Do you know what I mean?
Michael had a big heart, and Michael could sense things. You know, I think he could feel things. I think he was very intuitive. Michael really believed in respecting his subjects, and he talked about how he had to be careful with his camera because he wanted the people, if they were in a foreign culture, if there was a fear of cameras, he wanted to be respectful of that. He wasn't a point-and-shoot guy. He was thoughtful. Michael just had a way of putting you at ease, and even though he'd been in the States for many, many years, he just had that little bit of the Jamaican lilt that was just as warm as honey and just so engaging and friendly. And he genuinely liked people, and he genuinely wanted to tell the story that his subject had. And that's an important thing.
Are there words to describe sort of the quality of his work, that quality that you described that made it distinct from the work of other photographers, other photojournalists?
Crisp. You have to remember, this was before digital cameras. Michael, when I would see his work, did a lot of black and white, and he would print his pictures in such a way that they would appear to be 3D. He had a really good sense of how to work tones and how to bring the picture just to the perfect patina of black and white and shades of gray. If he took a picture of the side of a barn, you could see the grain in the wood. He was stunning. Not only the subject matter, but the technique and the angle and the lighting, those are the things that he could bring together. And for him, it was easy. And for the rest of us, it was like, how does he do that?
Did the two of you ever talk about photography? I mean, as a practice, as a craft? Did he describe? Did you ever talk with him about sort of his philosophical approach to it, I guess?
Not photography itself, although I'm sure he talked with a lot of people about it. But one thing that was really important to Michael was newspapers, the paper and the ink. And Michael had won, I don't know, two, maybe all three of his Pulitzer Prizes. And he was, you know, a photographer in management at the Washington Post. He was in one of those lofty spots. He was admired and legendary. And Michael went to get his master's in photojournalism. And I said, Michael, what do you need to get your master's for? You know, what do you have to prove? Are you working on your resume of life? You know, like, come on, what are you even doing this for? And he said, Julie, what's really important to me is newspapers. I think it's so important that we have the time, that people do the research, that they be true journalists. And his thesis was on page one. And he said, when everyone is getting their news in one-minute sound bites, two-minute sound bites, a newspaper that's really good can have the picture on the front that can convey the story, and around it put the whole atmosphere of what that picture represents. And that was so important to Michael, and he was just afraid that newspapers were going to go away. And, I mean, you know, he spent 2 years getting his master's studying page one. What did he have to prove?
It's not at all what he had to prove. It's more like what he wanted to preserve, maybe in the same way that he approached his photography as well and his journalism through images. As someone who knew Michael DeSille for his, you know, pretty much for his whole career, what do you think or what do you hope will be his lasting legacy or contribution to the practice of journalism?
I think that Michael will be remembered as one of the last great print photographers. And I hate to put it that way, but I think that's going to be that. It was strange reading about him online today with the legendary photographer references and all that other stuff. I just knew him as my friend Michael. And he did amazing work. And I think it's going to stand for a long time.